Well, we've been in a series entitled The Fruit of the Spirit, and we've been taking these attributes of being filled with the Spirit each week and studying what does that look like according to the Word of God, and how can we display that in our lives. And this morning we're going to talk about the fruit of peace. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. We looked at that. Joy, we studied that, and then peace. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. According to a recent study, the world has only known 292 years of peace since 3600 BC. In that time, these wars have taken a combined 3.6 billion people's lives. In that time, over 8,000 peace treaties have been signed and broken. Now, what does all that mean? It means the world has no idea how to have peace, all right? We're hurting. We're a mess. It's chaotic as it can be. And since the beginning of time, there's been a longing for peace. We want world peace. We want inner peace. We want peace of mind and soul. And we hear about it all the time, but no one seems to really pinpoint where we can find it. Sometimes people will enroll in yoga. Sometimes maybe it's meditation. Sometimes it's experimenting with an Eastern religion in search of peace. And people are open to all kinds of influences and ideas and methods in which would lead them to true peace. In fact, one lady said that her therapist told her that the way to achieve true inner peace was to finish what she started. And so in her diary, she said, "Well, so far today, I have finished 2 bags of chips and 1 whole chocolate cake, and I feel better already." And sometimes we don't really know where to find peace, and we're just willing to look anywhere in pursuit of where does this peace come from. And it's true that we live in a stressful world and society. There's deadlines, there's pressures, there's demands on our life, and there's a lot of stress that goes with it. And because of that, we find ourselves living by these cliches, and help me see if you can finish up. Sometimes we'll say, "I'm ready to throw in the what? Towel. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm just a bundle of nerves. My life is falling apart. I'm at my wit's end." And we could go on and on and on. We have these cliches and these sayings that we're familiar with, that we use, that we maybe will share with one another. And they are an expression that I am experiencing anything but peace. It's just not there in my life. And sometimes people in desperation then will seek that peace in a bottle or through drugs or through pills. And yet there's no inner satisfaction. And in this lesson, we want to briefly look at what is peace and where do we find it according to the Word of God. And notice with me in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith," and by the way, that's the only way to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, is by His grace through faith, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We can have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament word for peace is shalom. And it means a desire or a prayer that all is well with you. The word for peace in the New Testament means to bind together. And we learn as we study the Scriptures that peace is never the absence of trouble. Rather, it is the presence of Jesus Christ. When we talk about, as Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, having peace, we do not mean, how do we find a life that is trouble-free? How do we find life where there's no problems? How do we find life where there's no demands or pressures or deadlines? That life doesn't exist unless you're dead, okay? If you're drawing breath this morning, and I think most of you are at this hour on a Sunday morning, you're going to face trials and troubles and tribulations, but you can have peace, and that peace is found in your relationship with Jesus Christ and your acceptance of His purpose for your life. The Bible says in John 14, 27, in your notes, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God said, you don't need to have that kind of fear. I can give you peace. In John 16, 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And I'm thankful this morning that we gather to learn about and worship Jesus Christ, who has overcome the world. the world has a lot of problems. There's a lot of pressures and things and involved in that. But we are worshiping the Creator of peace, the one who promises to give that to us in our lives. So can you have peace this morning? Yes, you can. In your relationship with Jesus Christ and in your life, even though it may have trouble, but because you have a relationship with God. But I think as we think about peace in context of our study in our class this morning, we think about the fact that we want peace in our relationships. We desire peace in our homes. And when you think about life, most of our problems usually deal with people. I do a lot of counseling. I've never had someone set an appointment and say, "Now, Gabe, I want to talk to you about my carburetor. My dish disposal is not working properly, and I need to talk with you about the anxiety that it's creating in my heart and life." That's never happened. Usually when people set a counseling appointment, it has to do with someone else. And we begin to talk about those kinds of things. And when you study psychology and psychiatry and maybe some of the practices of the day, oftentimes those efforts are designed to help people relationally without first helping them relationally with God. And I'm just here to tell our class this morning that we will never have the kind of relationships horizontally with our spouse, children, neighbors, coworkers, etc., that God wants us to have until we first have the relationship vertically with God that we need to have. So we can pursue every idea and counsel and thought and best practice that we want, apart from a relationship with God, our horizontal relationships on this earth are not going to be what they should, because they are to be predicated with a relationship with God. And when our relationship is right with Him, every other relationship benefits. When we have peace with God, it allows and helps us to have peace with others as well. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Psalms 119, verse 165 is a great promise. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's a convicting verse. Don't have to raise your hand, but in the last 7 days, have you been offended? Again, don't raise your hand and don't look at your spouse. Don't text them right now about what they did. But the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. And that is the Word of God, right? So they have a love for the Word of God, and nothing shall offend them. What a promise and what a peace that God says we can have. So when we are at peace with God, He enables us to have peace with others. I want us to look at three areas very quickly in which we need the presence of peace. Number one, we need the presence of peace in our homes. In our homes. You know what should set apart the homes of His design class than any other homes in the community? Peace. There's a lot of homes in our community experiencing everything but peace. You know what they experienced this week? Yelling, screaming, arguing, throwing things, slamming of doors, cursing, inability to communicate, work things through, or resolve. In some homes in the community, the police were called this week. In some homes in the community, it sounded like a war zone. It was anything but peace. Now, can I challenge every one of us in this room? That's not our home. That's not the home of believers. Because the home of believers has the presence of peace. Because we are at peace with God, and because we understand that, yes, life is going to have days we don't like, but we won't have one day without God, that we can have peace in no matter what we face, and God can give us peace in our homes. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. God challenges you and I as His children that His peace should rule in our heart, and that our homes ought to be sanctuaries of peace. Now, Satan loves to attack the home, does he not? In 2019, the home in America is definitely under attack. It's unbelievable, the siege that is on the home. But let's get specific. Satan wants to attack the homes in this room. We're not just talking about the sanctity of marriage. We're not just talking about the sanctity of life. That is true in our country for sure. But let's be specific. God is after the homes in this room. Excuse me, Satan is. He's after your marriage. He's after your home, and he wants to rip it apart. So there has to be a recognition that Satan wants our home to be destroyed. He wants our marriage to be destroyed. He wants our family to be destroyed, and he's going to attack it. And God can give us peace in the midst of those attacks if we are living confident in our relationship with him. There has to be an area of protection that we can fall back in and say, hey, it doesn't matter what Satan does to us. He's no match for the one who resides in us.
Amen.
In other words, when trouble comes to your marriage or your family or your home, it shouldn't be automatic desperation mode, like, I don't know what to do and I think this thing's going to fall apart. No, it should be immediately resting in the fact of, God is here. We're going to be okay. This might have taken our breath away for a moment. This might have set us back. This might have caught us off guard. But here's the good news. Nothing ever catches God off guard. He's in control. It's called the sovereignty of God. We'll never face anything he's unaware of. And we can trust him. And we can have peace in our home and in our relationships. And we have to choose to live in the presence of God and to invite his presence into our life and into our home. Can I ask you a very simple question? Think about your home life this past week and then ask yourself this question. The environment that we have curated in our home, is it an environment that invites God to be there? If we could envision Jesus tangibly being in the four walls of our home, would he have been comfortable with everything that happened in our home this week? With maybe the music that was playing, maybe the media that was consumed, maybe the conversations that were happening, the decisions being made, was that creating an environment where God was there? Because, friend, we cannot expect the peace that only God can bring while pushing him out by the decisions and life choices that we make. It doesn't work that way. So we have to invite the presence of God. We can't expect and desire peace and be unwilling to do what brings peace. And that is to be right with God, to have a vertical relationship that is right, so all the horizontals take care of themselves. So how do we have that kind of peace at our home? Can I challenge you when we think about the presence of peace at home? You've got to make bigger the Word of God. Every one of us in this room have got to have a daily time to open the Word of God and to read it. Why? Because it aligns our life according to the purpose of God. Man, when I read about the children of God being delivered from Pharaoh and the Egyptians and walking across the Red Sea on dry ground, you know, when I hear that bad news in the middle of the day, I have a little different perspective. I didn't expect my boss to say that. I didn't expect my spouse to react that way. I didn't expect this problem to come into my life today. But you know what? I have a different perspective because I serve a God who literally delivered his children by opening the waters of the Red Sea and allowing them to cross on dry ground. When I have a relationship with the Word of God and I daily see him at work through Scripture and in my own life, it helps me to have a perspective of peace. Where does God want us to have this presence of peace? In our homes. But secondly, in our church. God wants us to have peace here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God wants you and I to experience peace here in the church. Now, when a church or a connection group is filled with bickering and backbiting and gossip and so on, there's not peace there. But God wants the body to experience peace. God wants you and I to be in a place where it is a peaceful environment. And we want to think about ourselves. And we want to think about when I come here to his design, when I come here to Lancaster Baptist Church, am I helping to make this a place of peace? Am I talking about others when they're not present? Am I envious of others' people's positions or accomplishments? Do I criticize others? Do I refuse to get involved? Do I not have the heart of Christ to serve? Sometimes we have to step back and analyze ourselves. Because we're really good when things aren't going well at blaming others. We're really good at finding, here's the problem and it's them. But we very much struggle looking in the mirror and honestly evaluating, how are we doing? But this place, this class, this church, it should be a place of peace, and we should help make it that way. And I just want to challenge you. You be bringing with you the presence of peace to class, bringing with you the presence of peace to church, and making this the environment that God desires for it to be. God is at work in all of us. None of us are perfect. We will all from time to time let one another down. That's part of life. But may you and I be willing to give forgiveness and grace to others as God has given it to us. And may we experience peace even right here in our connection group. God desires in our home, in our church, and then thirdly, in our world. God wants there to be peace in the world. And I believe there can be peace in the world. But I believe that peace in the world is only going to come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 17, in the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That describes the world we live in for sure. But notice the verse directly associated with that in Ephesians 6 and verse 15. The Bible says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So what is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying there's going to be a time in the world where nobody knows God and there is no peace. We're living in it. So what's the answer? The Bible says the answer is the Christians have to take the gospel, the love of Christ, everywhere they go. Amen. Did you know that you can be part of the solution for world peace? Did you know that? Here's how. Find someone this week and tell them about Jesus. Because you want to know why this world doesn't have peace? Because there's a lot of people living in it who don't have peace. And you know what will bring those individuals peace? Jesus. That's what you have. You have what the White House, the United Nations, and all these groups don't have from time to time, and that is the knowledge to understand that all the people who lack peace, it can only be found truly and eternally in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And every one of us who knows Jesus can make an impact in this world by sharing the love of Christ with somebody else. You can bring peace to your world by sharing the love of Christ. I don't know what your work environment looks like, but if it's lacking peace, can I encourage you? Share Jesus. I don't know what your neighborhood looks like, but if it's lacking peace, can I challenge you? Share Jesus. It might even be at family reunion. It's a little tense. Can I encourage you? Share Jesus. People, one by one, can experience true peace as they experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So may you and I have a peace that passeth all understanding, a love for the Word of God, and a refusal to be offended. And may the presence of that peace show up at home. We're good about coming to church and everything's good here, you know, but sometimes at home it's not. And the true battleground is home. That's where we are, where who we truly are. Let's make sure there's peace there. Let's make sure this environment is a peaceful environment. It won't be perfect, but it can be peaceful. And then the different engagements we might have where we intersect with people who are lacking peace, may they come to know the peace we've discovered as we introduce them to Jesus Christ.